What is up, everybody? My name is John Sparks. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody out there that's been showing love and support on the Instagram, the Facebook page, all the podcasting platforms. You guys freaking rock, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And I think we're all really enjoying this journey together as we learn more about UFOs, cryptids, spirits, ghosts, demons, everything that goes bump in the night. And if you guys want to support the show, guess what? I just dropped merch. That's right. If you go to the Instagram page or you go to the Facebook page, you'll find a link there. It's going to get you some sweet, sweet paranormal swag. Maybe some dope hats, some wicked sweet t-shirts, maybe even a bandana for your paranormal pup. That's right. Grab a bandana, slap it on that pup. I want to see a picture on Instagram. With that being said, grab a seat, kids. Get ready, because it's about to get crazy on a brand new episode of Sparks of the Paranormal. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Sparks of the Paranormal. I am your host, John Sparks. I want to say a huge thank you to everybody who listened to our last episode with Old Dominion Paranormal Research. That was awesome. They're just right down the road from me, and somehow in the middle of that, we decided that we're all going to investigate together. Don't know how it happened, but it happened. And stay tuned for next week's episode. We've got Jared Walters and Richard Oliver from the UK with Paranormal Now Debate, and I'm super excited for that. But today, ladies and gentlemen, another banger coming down the pipe for you. That's right, this is going to be a good one. So strap on, grab a seat, it's going to get good. Ladies and gentlemen, I stumbled across this guy on Facebook. I saw the name and I was like, that's interesting. I just want to click and see why it says this. And then sure enough, paranormal investigator. And I was like, boom, jackpot, here we go. And we got to talking. Here he is now, ladies and gentlemen, from Project Wolf. He's been investigating for 11 years now in and around Connecticut, Mr. John Smith. John, how you doing?
That's good, man, not too bad.
Good, we're glad to have you here. This is It's just another really cool episode, talking with some really cool people. So let's go ahead and dig into the meat of it, man. What got you started? I know we talked about it. I want to hear it again. I love these stories. Tell me what got you started.
So it was, I'll say 2008, my senior year of high school. I was hanging out with some buddies at his girlfriend's house. She had said that there was a whole bunch of activity going on there. So we said, let's check it out. I just got a nice camera for filming skate videos. So we set that up down in the basement and went out skating for like a good hour and a half. Only ones in the house. Come back, check the camera, and you actually hear the basement door open up. You hear the doorknob jiggle, creaking of the door open, but the door remained shut the entire time, which is weird. Hmm. So then we hear something that sounds like it was moving, like it had walked out of that room. Come up to the camera, and it sounded like it took a deep breath. Had one of my buddies analyze all the sound. Come to find out, it said, hey. So right off the bat, I was like, okay, that was interesting. Showed them, they're like, no way. And I was like, well, we have to check this out further now. Like, we can't just stop there. So this is when my buddy, who was our medium at the time, later on in the group, he was down there with us. Our other buddy was down there, and his girlfriend was down there. So we're asking all sorts of questions. And my buddy, who is a medium, he ends up having a button-down shirt. It's got the little tails at the bottom where they don't connect. And I asked whatever was there. I was like, hey, do something. You know, make a sound, touch him, poke him, push him, something, you know. Move his shirt, and literally you see the bottom of the shirt just get pulled. And none of us even throws his hands up. He's like, I'm not doing that. And we're like, oh my god. Just the whole shirt gets pulled up and it just let go.
Wow.
And that's when we were like, wow, okay. And that was it. That's when I got bit, and I was like, from there on, I need to find out more about what's going on here. It was definitely a rush for that first experience.
It is. It's like a drug, honestly, because once it hits the first time, you've gotta find more. It's just
there's times where, you know, we're all 21, 22, and most kids our age are at bars on Friday nights, and we're in abandoned places trying to talk to dead people.
That's awesome, though. That is awesome. So I've got to ask, where did the name Project Wolf come from?
So that was something that the kid who was a medium, he was kind of big into writing and like making like short stories and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of like trying to compile, it was like a website at the time of like just odd, crazy, spooky, creepy stories and tales,
mm-hmm.
which was going to be Project something. He couldn't figure it out. So I always loved the wolf. I thought the wolf was always a great animal and a good symbolism, especially in the paranormal world.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about that. But then also what just happened, I was like, well, hey, I was like, if you're going spooky with it, I said, why don't we do a Project with paranormal? And he's like, that sounds great. So we never got that. We never got that whole writing thing off the ground. Something where you kind of just, it stopped there, and then we all just ran with the paranormal thing, and we're just out there just trying to find evidence, like, and that's just really how the whole thing came about. And I always just ended up becoming the front man of everything, and even after everybody kind of split off, it's just, I've still kept the name going, kept everything going with everything, and that's
that's awesome.
Pretty much where we're at, man. So yeah.
So, is it just you, or do you have a team around you now?
So right now it's just me. I do have one other guy from the original team who pop around on investigations every now and then. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's just been me. The only time I really actually want to take a crew with me is usually if I go to like abandoned places, buildings, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's usually when I want to have at least a decent little group of people with me. Usually no more than three. If I go a big group, it's probably going to be the three people in the group, maybe a guest, and then somebody filming. But for the most part, it's just us three. I try to keep it small and simple. I always found out the more people you bring in, the less likely you're going to get evidence. Mm-hmm. You have so much more interference, so much more things that could have been somebody else making a sound. That's where it's three of us with three cameras.
Yeah.
All cameras are pointed at each other. Like, we're not, you know, what you're seeing is what you're getting. And that's always how we've gone about it. So, like, if it's something like most small investigations that I do, any home investigations or even cleansings, things like that, I've just been taking that solo.
Yeah. I mean, that's really cool. And I agree with you on that. It's the smaller groups that tend to have more, because you've got to think about it from the mindset of, even just as a living person, if four people roll up on you, you're gonna get a little creeped out, a little freaked out. You're not gonna want to express yourself. You're not gonna want to talk. You're gonna want to kind of close off and kind of defend yourself. Smaller groups. I mean, yeah, dude, that makes a lot of sense. And I like the fact that it's just you guys with a couple cameras and you're all just filming each other. Like, it's great. That's great.
Well, like, and that's the thing. So, like, I've always heard about, you know, there's always going to be skeptics. And the one thing, like, our motto, so to say, is finding answers to life's mysteries. So, mm-hmm. literally, what I love skeptics, and, like, there's been a place that I've taken people to that literally has always given me evidence. Mm-hmm. And this place is taking people who are skeptics, and by the end of the night they're going, I don't know, I'm second guessing a lot of it, and that's what it is. This place did that to that to people. But I've always known and know there's gonna be skeptics. Even with a lot of things we do, like home investigations, I try to look at everything scientifically.
Yeah.
I try to know key things if I'm going to like an abandoned place, but I try not to look up a lot of research, just because your brain will also start to do that. So you start knowing more and more about some place, your brain's gonna start creating all these things. So mm-hmm. most of the places that I've gone to, if I didn't know the history on it, look up just a little bit, little cliff notes, and go from there. But for the most part, once everything is said and done, then I'll go in and start doing all the research, going, oh, okay, this and that, boom boom, that makes sense, sounds like something we caught over here.
Yeah.
And it just helps, you know. I feel the more you go into something too expecting it to be haunted, your brain is going to start making things happen, making things up, you know.
Yeah.
And there's been times where I've been in a place and you hear something and you're like, oh my god, it sounds just like this and that, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, nope, that's just dripping water. And then you go and find it and you're like, oh yep, there it is right there.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't realize that it's not just the eyes that can matrix; it's also the ears that can matrix.
Exactly.
Like, and I talked about this in my episode with the guy from Old Dominion Paranormal, that, you know, it comes in when you grew up in older places. You know the difference in floorboards expanding and contracting, and the sound of a footprint. There are two different sounds, and you have to train yourself to understand. So
you gotta separate it.
Yeah, you've got to do the research. You got to take the time and properly investigate. And it's definitely interesting that the mind can use a million different things to matrix.
And I mean, like I said, I've gone to places, I've gone to some people's houses where just after going through and walking around and doing the investigation here and certain things, I've been back to them and said, hey, look, you're not haunted, there's nothing here, you know, literally, like, we'll break it down to them, this is what's going on, this is what's making that sound, it's not what you think it is, perfectly fine. But then I've also been to some places where the minute you walk in, and you know right off the bat, there's something here. I've dug a lot, like really deep in. The one thing that I always say makes me different than most groups out there is how I go about things, and also the research that I've done and what I know. I've done a lot of work in like demonology, a lot of studies in that. I've worked a lot of different cases that had to do with a little more dark presence than just typical spirit. I've learned how to protect against a lot of that, which is why anybody who goes up, especially my original team, always felt safe, because they just know I'm going in with three, four people. We're coming out with three or four people.
Yeah.
Nothing's coming back. Nothing's staying attached. Like, it's all staying right there.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what, there had to be an experience that made you want to look into demonology. So can you take me back to that?
This is going back to the middle of 2009. We had met this guy at the Bristol Mall, and he was into the paranormal, had his own little paranormal team going, and it was kind of like just him. So he was very small like us, so we're like, okay. Ended up meeting up with him a couple of times, and he seemed like a pretty cool dude. So he was telling us about this house out in Salem, Connecticut, that he had gone to, and all this crazy stuff that had happened, and he told us a story that he thought was the real story. It sounded way too cliche for me, but I was like, all right, whatever. I don't know. We'll go anyways. So we ended up going to this place, man. It's an old house from the early 1900s, and it gave a lot of crazy pictures. Like, although if you look into my page on Facebook, you'll see all the pictures from this place. And I've had these pictures taken to a college professor in photography. Had him look at the camera with the photos on it and other photos I had on my computer. And literally, he just looks at all of it and, like, looks at me and he goes, these pictures came from this camera? And I go, yeah. And he goes, that's impossible. He's like, light doesn't do anything that it's doing here. There's no way. He said, you also have pictures of this place with the little tea lights, and they look just like a normal picture of tea lights would look. It looked like a tiny little candle with a flame on the bottom, you know, on the ground. Nothing great. He said, but all these other pictures, he's like, you have these light anomalies that are in these photos. He's like, you're not even in the room that had the light. And I said, I know that. And I told him, I said, this place is dark. I said, if you close your eyes, that's how dark it is in this place. I said, so that's all we have is little tea lights. And when we film, the tea lights are just in our little main headquarters spot. Everything else is dark.
Yeah.
It's complete darkness when we're in there. All we can see is whatever's on the screen of the camera. That's it.
Yeah. That's crazy. So there was that kind of experience there that sent you down the road of demonology.
Pretty much. That's what started it. So this place, because it was so close, ended up becoming our every weekend go-to place. Mm-hmm. I ended up loving it so much that I wanted to find out the actual stuff on it. Because I looked up and I couldn't find anything online about this place, like at all. I'm going, all right, there's something that's got to be here. So I ended up finding the town historian, and she pretty much told me everything about the house. The dude's story that he told me, not even close to being true.
Wow.
So I found out the legit story. I got to see pictures of the people who built and owned the house, like everything. So I end up going back there with that information, and man, did my evidence start skyrocketing. Like, jeez, we started getting a lot of good stuff. Now, note, this is in the beginning of everything. So I was young, early 20s when I started all this. We did a lot of experimenting. I was raised in a church growing up, so I kind of wanted to start that, you know, experiencing other things. So this house became kind of like our testing spot for a lot of stuff.
Okay.
So the kid who was our medium decided he was going to take the Necronomicon book, which is a book of the dead,
interesting,
draw some gateways and read from it. That was a bad move.
Yeah, no.
A lot of crazy stuff started happening after that, to the point where I actually had to go in, and I wanted to just kind of calm it down a little bit. So I went in there and did like a quick little cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like the following week when we went back, nothing was happening.
Yeah.
We were actually very bummed out because we were like, no. Like, we were going to start trying to film for like an episode, like starting new episodes. Like, we were trying to get on like public access TV at the time. I was like, we're going to do our Halloween. Like, first episode was going to be here.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we've got nothing going on. I said, this place would give sounds and it would give rattles and growls. Like, you would hear these things. Like, it would kick things. Like, and now it's doing nothing. I was like, the whole time, it just felt like something was just there, but it couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, we were all really kind of bummed out. So, I was like, man, what are we going to do? So, same thing. My buddy was like, I'm going to reopen it. Like, I don't know if we should do that. He's like, no. He's like, I'm going to do it. He's like, we'll just be more careful this time. So, I said, all right, fine. I said, dude, I'm not going in there when you do it this time. I said, I'm staying outside. I'm not doing this. He's like, fine. So, he goes in, comes back out like 15 minutes later. He's like, all right, man. So, come to find out, he reopened the gates. He also added these seals that are supposed to help, like, amplify the strength of it.
Oh, Lord.
So he did that, and then we didn't go back for just about a month until the night before Halloween, going into Halloween. We just wanted it to stay and kind of fester. So during that time, there was, like, four different, like, electrical storms, which was weird because that really ever happened out here. So that happened, which ties in with the whole paranormal stuff. We had a couple of, I think we had an eclipse. I think it was a lunar eclipse we had, which totally throws everything else off as well. And then a lot of odd things started happening throughout the town. We noticed, like, nothing major, but, like, we just hear, like, weird little reports just, like, in the paper, just really just weird, bizarre things. It's like, that's kind of weird. Didn't think nothing of it. So we end up going there the night before Halloween, going into Halloween. By this time, I was like, I did some studying in that time. I was like, I want to make sure that we're good. So I had actually sat and talked with a priest, and he kind of gave me a lot of information and whatnot and how to go about certain things and to keep people safe and how to do like a minimum of an exorcism if need be. Anything else that'd be too crazy, you would definitely need more of a priest than me, but for the most part, you know, simple stuff, as long as it's not fully attached, you know, I'm able to get rid of that. So we end up going back there the night before Halloween, going into Halloween. We're down in the basement, and this kid just, the kid who did the drew the thing and the seals and reopened the gates was a medium. He just falls to the ground, and this basement is disgusting, dirty, gross, concrete, and I mean, he smacked the floor. Like, we all turned around like, whoa, like, what was that? And it was him. We're like, oh my god. So my buddy, who just grabs him with one arm, gets him up off the ground, like, dude, you good? Because the kid weighed nothing. He weighed like, you know, maybe like 120, 130 soaking wet.
Yeah.
Picked him up, like, dude, you're right. He's like, what happened? He's like, we knew what happened. Like, he just ate the floor. Like, you all right? He's like, yeah, I don't know, that was weird. Alright. Continue with the investigations. Move upstairs to the main floor, start doing our investigation there. Go all the way up to the top floor, do an investigation in there. Next thing you know, same thing. Boom! Falls to the floor. Once again, my buddy picks him up. One arm. Just, dude, what is going on? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, that's so weird. He's like, I'm fine. He's like, then all of a sudden, he's like, I just get this weird spell and I black out. He's like, I don't even know I black out. He's like, it's like I blink and then I'm just on the ground. And we're like, all right, that's kind of weird. Like, wow. I was like, you know, told my other buddy, just, yeah, stick with him in case that happens again. So we keep going through the main floor. He ends up going into one room where he drew the seal and he was standing on it. And he didn't even know he was standing on it. And then he was just sitting there and he's swaying around. And he starts just acting extremely weird. And he's like, dude, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. He's like, I feel so weird right now. Jeez. And then I remember looking down and going, dude, I went to go push him out of the way because I noticed he was standing on it.
Yeah.
And he just fell again. Boom. Jeez. And we were like, no. So we picked him up and his girlfriend was with us. So she's sitting on the top of the stairs and he's kind of just like leaning back on her with his legs dangling on the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just kind of holding him, you know, kind of keeping him chill. And he's just out of it. Completely out of it. So we start continuing doing our investigation, and like 3 minutes after that, we hear her screaming. We run around and see him getting pulled down the stairs. Legit, his leg was extended. You can see in the pant leg where it looked like something was gripping onto it. So I go and grab the leg that is extended, and it's ice cold.
Mm.
My other buddy, who previously was picking this kid up with one arm, ends up getting behind him with both arms underneath his arms, and he's turning beet red and cannot pull this kid up the stairs.
Jeez.
I can't get this kid moved off the stairs. It keeps trying to pull him down. Eventually, whatever it is, let's go. We end up pulling him up to the stairs, and it tries to jump inside of him. He starts freaking out. Ends up trying to claw at everybody. We end up having to pin him down. And it took me, my other buddy, who at the time was probably about, I don't know, 185, 190, yeah. 6-something, you know, tall kid.
Yeah.
Me, we're all trying to pin this kid down. And, like, it took all of us to just hold him. And it was insane. Wow. So eventually I ended up grabbing the rosaries. I put it on him. I started reciting the Lord's Prayer over and over again. And eventually whatever was in there just started to fight back and it just expelled out of him. You see his whole body like kind of stiffens up. He starts making this weird gurgle sound. And you hear the like expulsion of just that breath that came out.
Yeah.
And then his whole body just goes limp and he's completely unconscious.
Oh, wow. We ended up having
to come up, bring him back downstairs to the safe zone. At that point, I looked at the guy filming. I was like, did you get that? And he's like, yeah. I looked at everybody else. Yo, is everybody else okay? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, all right, we're packing up. I said, we're getting out of here. And that's the one thing that was good. I know when to call it quits. And that right there,
yeah,
that was enough. It's a no calling it quits.
So what it sounds like is this thing was literally just siphoning his energy so that it could take him over.
Yeah, it pretty much partially possessed him. It was in the process of trying to get inside of him. And what it was doing was every time he was blacking out, that thing was getting a little closer and closer and closer until eventually he had him to where he was laying down just completely vulnerable. Wow. And that's when it just tried to get him and try to take him.
Yeah.
We've caught a picture of a portal down in the basement of this place.
Wow.
And that yeah, that was 10 years ago, man. I actually went back to that place this Halloween to see how things were.
That's where you were headed.
I'll tell you, it remembered me.
Oh, after wow.
10 years. Whatever was there totally remembers me because it was paying a lot of mind to me.
On Facebook, I saw you driving up to the house and I saw how it looked from the road. And I was like, that's just creepy. I had no idea that was going to be this same house. And I was just...
Yep. If you watch the video, too, I posted the live video. And
yeah.
I mean, you'll see the orb activity going on in that place. And
wow.
Like I said, we captured a portal going on in there. And that was over 10 years ago. So I could only imagine what's just been going on there.
Yeah.
That place has definitely been, I'm going to be sad because it's not going to be able to be going into much longer because it's definitely
falling apart
after all these years, but I can honestly say I'm thankful for that place.
Yeah.
As crazy as it's been, that place has definitely been a good training.
Yeah.
Training place.
So is that like obviously one of your most memorable investigations? Is it your favorite investigation so far?
Mainly because I want to say just the history that we've all put into that place, going there and doing what we've done, is definitely my favorite. Because of the Halloween night, that's dubbed our number one scariest place that we've been to.
Yeah.
Our number two scariest place is in Baltic, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an old mill that caught fire out there. Nobody ever died in it. But upon going there our first time, we noticed that there was a lot of satanic writing all over the place.
Of course.
A couple of animal carcasses. So there's definitely some people doing some type of craziness there, mm-hmm. which ended up leading me to the nighttime when we went there. Because usually new places, I like to go during the day, get a lay of the land, just see how everything looks, and
mm-hmm.
I Google Earth everything. I want to know everything, how the place looks before I go in there, you know,
yeah.
at night with just some flashlights. So we go there during the day, walk the building or whatever, really cool place. The parking garage still had all the cars that couldn't make it out of there still in there and stuff, and it was pretty cool. So we go there at night. And to get to this place, we had to park across the street, walk through a vacant parking lot, and then there's just chain link fence.
Mm-hmm.
So you go over the chain link fence, and then there's this crevice and a bunch of steel beams that are about 10 feet above water that's got nothing but rusted, twisted metal at the bottom of it from where the mill fell. So you kind of got to shimmy across those beams and then shimmy up this really sketchy, steep, loose rock hill, which is great because you fall, you're going into the twisted, rusted metal water. Once you get past that, you're good. You're on flat ground, and you can just walk until you get to the main building and the parking garage. And you can tell that there used to be a connection that's no longer there, and there's like a little passageway. So you could walk from the main building to the car garage instead of walking outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I was about to jump down in there because we were going to go to the parking garage first. And before I jumped down, I end up hearing this sound. And it was the most gut-wrenching, blood-curdling sound I've ever heard in my entire life. I've heard Fisher cats. They're creepy. This was not that. This was something. It was a different pitch. It was a deeper pitch. It was weird. Like, it stopped me dead in my tracks before. Like, I was literally about to jump down, heard it, and then was like, whoa, whoa. Like, what was that? And I'm looking out into the opening, and all of a sudden I start seeing, like, this black mass just moving. So it's already dark darkness, then an even darker darkness is moving within the darkness that I see. And I'm like, what is that? So all of a sudden, you know, like those orange reflectors that people put on their driveway, the big bright orange ones? I see one of those disappear. And I go, okay, that's weird. And then I see another one appear. And I'm like, what? So I pull my flashlight out and I start shining it at it.
Yeah.
And the light, you would have seen, like, you know, maybe the coloring of it or something because the light's hitting it. There's nothing. It's like the light just stopped in the darkness, which is it just didn't void. Illuminate anything. Yeah. Wow. So then I'm doing this like near the where the eyes are, and anything that would be a reflector would have given off that reflecting shimmer. Even an animal, they have that bluish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know the difference. I know all about animals. I'm an outdoorsy, woodsy person, so I know all about animals at night. This was no typical eye shine that I've ever seen. So it was that bright orange. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, all right, it's not a reflector. And then all of a sudden I see him close. And that's when I see, like, the mass itself move. And then, like, comes back up, opens them up again. You see it kind of, like, close up, come over here. Then another pair open up.
What?
And then another pair open up. And I'm going, okay, that's weird. So, honestly, I was close to, like, leaving. So I was like, look, everybody, let's just try to go into the main building or the car garage first. I said, well, maybe whatever that is going to leave. So we go into the main, to the car garage, do our little investigation for about an hour and a half, come out, whatever it is gone.
Mm.
All right, cool. So we walked to the direction where they were, because that's how we got into the main building,
yeah,
where they were at. So I walked there, nothing. I'm like, okay, whatever. Get into the main building. So the main building, the whole bottom floor, you can get across the entire thing to the other side. Any other floor, you can't walk on because it's all burnt.
Yeah.
And there's just holes, so you can look all the way up through the ceiling and see the stars from the fire. So the only other thing after that was going to the stairwells, and you can like go to each floor and like kind of look through or whatever, and that's what we did. We did all that all the way to the top of the stairwell. So we're at the very top of the stairwell. I'm like, all right, let's, you know, get ready to kind of head back, and we'll kind of wrap some things up and we'll call it. So as we're about to leave, we hear something at the bottom of the stairwell, and then the entire stairwell echoes with that sound that we had first heard when we got there.
Oh.
It was in the stairwell, whatever it was.
That's good.
And we hear it all moving around. There's nowhere else for us to go. That stairwell is our only way out. We were trapped. Place. Like, that was it. So, at the time, like, I usually carried, like, usually at least, like, a big knife and then, like, a CO2 BB gun, just trying to scare any type of animal off if we ever came in contact if it bumped in. So I was just like, look, I'm just going to shoot this thing. It's going to echo a lot in here, so it's going to be loud, which is good. I said, hopefully it'll scare whatever away. I was like, but I'm going to do that. I said, literally, we all know the way back.
I'm like, just run.
Go. Just go. That's what we did, man. We hightailed it out of there. And, like, and when we got back to the car, and, like, all of us are just sitting there going, like, what was that? And I didn't know. So I do all the research, and honestly, what I think that was because of all the demonic writing that I saw around there. I'm pretty sure somebody opened up something they weren't supposed to. And the only thing that made sense, because that, whatever it was standing at least, I don't know, maybe about a chest high to me, and I'm like 5'7", 5'8", you know? So whatever it was, it back would be chest high to me, and then you got the whole neck and head. It was huge, way bigger than any type of dog, wolf.
Yeah.
So I honestly think that whatever group did whatever they did down there, it was like a hellhound or something, man, because that was, it was animalistic, but no animal sounded like the sound. And wow. No animal ever sounded close to the sounds that we heard.
That's freaking intense, man. Run is your only option there. Because you've got
definitely intense.
I mean, you've got that much trauma just with, you know, people freaking out because their job has now been taken away from them. There's a lot of emotion there. There was a lot of fear because of the fire. There's a lot of that stuff. And then you've got these satanic cults coming in and just doing all of these sacrifices and ceremonies to try to bring forth something. And I can only imagine that that trauma is only feeding that thing.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
Like, that's horrifying.
That's why I think, and that's why I think that was, like, that's why all that was going on. Because, like I said, I did the research. Nobody died in the fire. It was actually, like, an abandoned part of the mill.
Yeah.
So it was a part they didn't even use.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, it's just going to be a cool place to go. I said, just check it out. But like I said, going in there, looking at the writing, taking pictures of it, and then going back and, like, looking up all these different, you know, type of things it could be, and then pinpointing, that's what it is. Going, okay, well, people definitely did some of that there.
Super safe situation.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that was definitely number two. Number two on our scary list.
So when you walk into an investigation, let's say you're just going into a residence, what is your favorite piece of equipment to use?
I'm old school, so I'm totally going to say the recorder.
Yeah.
I picked up so much on a voice recorder, and then digital camera with pictures. I love film.
Yeah.
Old film cameras I found always to be the best. I'm probably the only person that I know who would still get a film camera and be like, yep, I want it. It's just something about how they capture.
Yeah.
It's more real, so to say, versus digital. Anybody can fake something on a digital copy. It's very hard for a film. If I'm taking that picture, this is, you know.
Yeah.
I take a picture and you see a mist that looks like a person.
Yeah.
That came from a film strip. It's not something I had to plug into a computer and download, none of that. So it's a little more authentic, I say. And that's always what I try to go for. I try to find the most authentic way of proving things.
Yeah.
It's like with certain equipment, like spear boxes and all that. I've used them, and I think sometimes they work. But I find them very hard for them to be credible, mm-hmm. just because it's a piece of technology that's just spitting out random words. Like, it could be programmed to just spit random words out. Or even programmed for, you know, hey, maybe I'm saying a simple conversation. Because, you know, most of the time it's, who are you? Why are you here? So mm-hmm. it's simple questions like that that everybody knows someone's going to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he hears that, it's going to spit out that word. So it's hard to believe those. You know, I'm totally more of a hard, solid, and that's the same thing with the Ouija board. I've used a Ouija board, and I've sat through people and it's moved, and they've been like, I'm not moving it. I don't fully believe. Because anybody can just play along with it. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not moving it at all. Like, anybody can do that. You know, my whole thing is now, if I'm doing that and it moves itself, and nobody's hands move, okay, that's what I'm gonna go, now I can believe.
Yeah.
Had that happen, so therefore it's another thing. I know there could be bad with them, but it's just one of those things where I'm still on the fence with it, just because
I've never messed with a Ouija board. I don't plan on ever messing with one, simply because I think it's and my intention using it would be just for fun, not as an investigative technique. But I think that it's not just my personal what I'm doing. It's the other people that are there using it with me. If they are out for a different intent, two cancels out one, something could happen. Something could come through. But like I said, I'm not going to touch it. Do I believe it? I've heard, like you, some really bad stuff, but I'm not testing it. I'm not playing with it. Exactly. I'm not doing. You say the word Ouija, and I'm like, can we not? So, your favorite evidence so far, was it that house with the pictures that you guys opened the portals?
That's definitely number one. Number two is this place out in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. It's called Fort Mansfield, and it's at the tip of Napatree Point. So this is a beach,
mm-hmm.
and you pretty much walk 2 miles down this beach, and at the 2 mile point, you walk into a sand dune, and at the top of the sand dune, you're now standing on top of an old bunker that was out in the wars.
Wow.
This bunker got taken out in the hurricane. Was it Hurricane of? I think it was 87, 86. It was one of the hurricanes that happened back in like the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
There's beach houses that used to align this whole thing. Same thing. I went down to Westerly Library, found all the books about it way before that happened, and looking at pictures and mm-hmm. going to this place. I mean, there is a road that was there, like all of it that's just no longer, you'd never know.
Yeah.
Walk all the way down the end of this beach, and boom, you're just on top of this bunker. Go down in there, and there's all the tunnels and all that stuff, and I think there was a total of 3 bunkers. There's one main one, a smaller one, and then like a little, probably like you just go there for like a couple of days and keep watch there, and then end up going back to the main. So we went there during the day, went back at night, which is awesome, because then you just, it's dark. You see there's no lights but the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And going down in there in the main building down in the tunnel, we actually caught a full body apparition in the picture, and it looks like somebody walking in through the tunnel. It's really cool. So that's definitely crazy. One of our other places where we've gotten some pretty neat pictures.
Yeah.
And once again, this is another place where you can't say anything about light. I mean, there's a flash on the camera when I'm taking it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only light. Other than that, you're in a cement bunker at the bottom floor of the cement bunker, 2 miles at the tip of a beach where there's no lights but the moon. So there is no crazy light.
Yeah.
And not a lot. There's no cars, no street lights. There's nothing.
There's no electric. There's no electricity out there.
There's nothing. Jeez. There's nothing. You're just out there.
So in your 11 years of investigating, what is the biggest thing that you've learned? What is your biggest takeaway from your time in the paranormal?
Don't do this unless you're actually serious. A lot of what you see on TV, it's TV. You can't ever go off of that. A lot of that stuff is Hollywood. If you really do want to get into this field, understand there's a lot of research, a lot of reading. There's also a lot of risk that comes with it. Anytime I go out, I take that risk. Anytime I bring an object in, you know, I take that risk. But as long as you can take the steps to keep everybody and yourself safe, you know, then you'll be okay. But it's definitely a field that it's not, I would say, just go and do. And I know it's fun going into a scary place, you know, that's allegedly haunted and messing around with some friends. That's how I started out. I get it. But the more you know things and the more you do the research, even that one time doing that, you're so unprotected. Your guard is so down that you're such an easy target. And that's all I really have to say to people is always tread with caution. And a lot of times when I tell people who I've done home investigations for and they want whatever it is out, I tell them, I said, look, I've shut the door. I've locked the door. They can't get in. I said, but just like any other door, if you keep paying mind or thinking about it or talking about it or bringing that type of energy back into the house, you just keep chipping away at that door. The more you chip, the weaker it gets, and eventually it's going to come right back out again. I said, so you've got to be just as strong and not bring that in. Not, you know, you got to know that that's the cutoff. You can't have that talk going on. Can't have anything that would reopen that back.
Yeah. I can completely agree with that. And, you know, I'm going to echo that 100%, guys. Just, if you're going to go out there and you're going to do it, please, for the love of God, take it seriously. Don't go in there. Don't provoke. You guys hear me talk about this all the time. Don't do it. Because it's not just your life that you're looking at. It is everyone that is there with you. It is the people at home. It is the ones you care about that you need to think about before you start doing something like this. Because, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, it's kind of like being a superhero. You know, you have to look at the ones that you care about first. Don't look at yourself. Look at them. Don't be dumb. Don't be dumb. Be smart. Do the research. So, if you could, real quick as we're wrapping this thing up, could you go ahead and throw out all of the social medias for Project Wolf Paranormal?
Yep. So it's actually easy. Right now, we just have our Facebook. So if you guys ever want to take a look at any of the videos I have, pictures I have, just look at John Project Wolf right on Facebook. And it's right there. I've got all my videos, all my pictures up there. And I continue to try to update anytime I go out. And now that I've already tried one live, pretty much any other video and any other investigations that I do, I'm going to try to do it live. So that'll always be a good one to try to look and watch.
Yeah. And just from the stuff that I've seen on your Facebook, you've got a lot of stuff. You've seen a lot. You've seen a lot in 11 years.
I've seen a lot. I feel, and I usually don't ever like to, you know, bash other groups, but I've seen a lot of evidence, and there's definitely been groups out there that have gotten phenomenal evidence, pictures, and all that, but I can definitely say that I have been, by far, in Connecticut, the only person that I've ever seen get evidence and get photos that I've gotten off the investigations that I've done. Like I said, we do a what you see, what you get, and that's the approach I always go with it. My stuff is real and unedited, so it's all right there.
Absolutely. So guys, if you could, when you're out there and you're following John in Project Wolf Paranormal, whenever you find somebody in the paranormal, investigating, podcasting, whatever, follow, like, comment, subscribe, all of that, because all of us need the love and support. Everybody's got their own way of doing things. We're all out there for the same reason, to find the same outcome, no matter who it is, no matter how big, no matter how small. And with that being said, guys, I want to say a huge thank you to Mr. John Smith from Project Wolf Paranormal for coming on to the show. Perfect example of people that are out there and getting it done. So thank you, John. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. And guys, we will talk to you next time on Sparks of the Paranormal.